It's terrifying, this. Absolutely terrifying. And as I was sat being terrified for my last loo trip, so I snuck out, I thought about all the people who are preaching in church today, where they don't just need to be scared about you guys, they're actually terrified for their lives. So I thought, before I start, I just really sense it, just to pray over them. So Father, for all those who are speaking in church today, who do so not just through nerves, but also through genuine fear for their lives, I just pray right now for your blessing, your protection to be over them. Amen. So, back in February 2016, we organised a ladies' meeting, and I gave a short talk on prayer. And Kerry heard that, and given that at the moment our subject is prayer, she's asked me to regurgitate that talk. And as part of preparing for today, I discovered that my spelling of the word regurgitate is so poor that Microsoft were unable to give any suggestions to me. And in the end, I had to resort to asking Google, how do cows eat? Now, when Kerry asked me which Sundays work for me, I said, ideally not this one. Twice a year, I drive up to Ipswich. You see, I have a dark secret. I'm an Ipswich Town football supporter. So on Friday, it's dinner with friends in the little town of Hadley. And then on Saturday, we go for a Thai lunch, and then we watch the footy. And then I drive home. Now, given Ipswich's current form, I figured today would not be a good day. Anyway, back to the talk. If you're at Windsor Hall on Friday the 5th of February last year, you've got permission now to make yourself comfortable and have a nice Sunday morning nap. Before I spoke a year ago, I did some online research about prayer to see what others were saying about it. And everything I found was focused on praying during specific events, whether you're ill or sad or lonely, or on answered prayer or the lack of answered prayer. Today I'm going to talk about the relational side, just how I chat with God on a regular basis. And I hope that some of what I say will be useful. Oswald Chambers said, the battle of prayer is against two things in the earthlies, wandering thoughts and lack of intimacy with God's character as revealed in his word. Neither can be cured at once, but they can be cured by discipline. Now, I always like a good quote that shows that people you think would be achieving an A+ are actually struggling too. A few years ago, I'd have rated my prayer life as a bit of a D+. But by February last year, it had reached the dizzy heights of a C-. And maybe now I'm at a solid C most of the time. So given the achievement of such consistent mediocrity, it's time for me to share my experience. I've been in River for over 15 years, and when I first joined, my prayers were in the ad hoc, oh God help me, category. The please don't let me run out of petrol, I know I should have filled up. The please can I have a parking space. The please can this boring meeting be over so I can pick up my son. The please can my son's fever be just a fever and nothing more. God was this superhero to be called upon when the going gets tough. And indeed, he is a superhero to be called upon when the going gets tough. But then at a certain point, probably after a good preach from Colin or Chris Forster, I started praying twice a day, every day. Now, I'm a super organised and very disciplined person, so my day went something like this. Get up, have a wee, brush my teeth, make the tea, pray, shower, get dressed, get out the door for work. And in the evening, have a wee, brush my teeth, pray and go to bed. And as I've always been busy and overloaded, the speed I just said that was just how much time I spent with God. Not long at all. Back in January last year, when I was thinking about planning this talk, my prayer life back then made me think about my mum. Since my dad died back in the 90s, I've always done mum's shopping on a Sunday afternoon, which is why generally I'd be seen rushing out the door as soon as the meeting was over. As she got older, she had less to say. Well, she had more to say, but none of it was good. Towards the end of 2015, my visits had become another Andy Boltwood, very efficient routine. I would turn up, make a cup of tea, pretend to listen to mum moaning, read her paper, take her to Tesco's, unpack, pretend to listen to more moaning, go home and happily tick the to-do list of visit mum. Over Christmas 2015, she became very ill. It looked like she had huge mental issues. Thankfully, it was just a urine infection and she's recovered. However, from that point on, I stopped taking her for granted and I started to really value the time we have together. I value every day I spend with my mum now, no matter how mundane or boring it would seem. My old prayer life was a bit like my visits to mum. I could mentally tick the box that I'd spent some time with God, but it wasn't quality time. I was aware I wasn't doing very well, and I wanted to do better, but I didn't know how to change. A couple of years ago, a guy I was dating had some problems, and he turned up on my doorstep at 5 in the morning. And then he moved into my spare room. Now, the whys and wherefores of that are a whole nother story, but the impact on my prayer life was significant because I found it really off-putting to say goodnight and then pray out loud in my room. And the same was true in the morning. Equally, at that point, my most important prayer was, please God, can he move out? And I thought that would be a bit rude if he overheard it. So I tried praying in my head, but I kept getting distracted. Thinking prayers just don't work for me. My mind wanders off. And at night, I'd sit on the bed and then I'd fall asleep. I also believe there is great power in saying prayers out loud. So that's when I spoke to my friend Karen Weir, and she suggested that I pray in the car on the way to and from work. Now that seemed a bit of a cheat. I'd heard one of our leaders say it was fine to pray anywhere, even in the toilet. But that just seems to devalue things. If I was married and my husband thought quality time with me was in the toilet, it's just wrong, isn't it? But I have learned to trust what Karen says, so I decided rather reluctantly to give it a go. Well, God and I now have a wonderful time together. Instead of giving him a minute or two, we have all the time in the world because I have a really long commute. So my first top tip for today is that you need to find your perfect place to give God quality, unhurried time. Maybe it's like me and it's in the car. Maybe it's while you do the washing up or walk the dog. It's about looking at your day and finding a good chunk of time that you and God can spend together. My morning prayers and my evening prayers are very different. I really find talking to him about my day and the challenges ahead helps fill me with the Spirit at the start of the day. One morning, I was really down. Nothing seems to be going well. And I started to force myself to say thank you to God for the good things in my life. And initially, I couldn't think of very much. My car, my house. But as I forced myself to think, the list went on and on and on. And by the end, I was ready to pray about my day ahead. And the person who got out the car at work was a very different person who got in the car at home. It's so easy to focus on the prayers that haven't been answered and miss all of those that have. I've recently been going through a time when things keep going wrong. My heating's broken, my shower broke, the garden fence fell down, I had a hole in the roof, someone dinged my car at a funeral, and I've attended 3 funerals. It's been a really grim 6 months. On the other hand, it wasn't my funeral. The car's fine, the roof's fixed, the shower's fixed. My cat's going strong and she's 14. My mum is alive, my son's doing well. I have a job, a home, great friends, a mad family who I love, a fantastic church. This list is far longer. So when I'm in the car on the way to work and I'm feeling sorry for myself or down in the dumps, I force myself to say thank you. And I keep going until I've really remembered everything that I have to be thankful for. Every morning I pray a blessing over my son and my mum, and then I pray about the day. I pray I'll be a light in the school where I work, and that I'll be somebody who shows the love of Jesus to those I work with. And I really need to pray about that, because I know I will struggle all day with being patient and kind and loving at various points. I also use my morning prayers to bless someone at work who's a bully. Their behaviour is pretty awful, not just to me, but to a number of others. Now, when I did my first run through of this talk, I typed who that person was. I was going to name them. And then I thought that was a bit mean, especially as this is going to be on a podcast for anybody to listen to. Could email it to them. I did also consider doing slides and putting up in a really big font on the projector. But I've decided that no, I'll listen to my conscience, and I've kept it anonymous. Praying at the moment for this person to be blessed really isn't easy, but I do believe it's really important, because that's how God will break through. Now, in the past, across my life, some people have done some really rotten things to me, and I've hated them for it initially. But I've prayed for them every morning, initially not meaning a word of that prayer, and then after a while, I've been able to pray for them to be blessed and mean it, but only up to a point. I've kind of prayed that they would be blessed, but not as much as me. But eventually, God has been able to change my heart, and I've been able to not only forgive them, but really want the best for them. So whenever I'm struggling with someone, I pray that God will bless them and their lives. And I am really passionate about the fact that we need to pray for those who've wronged us to be blessed abundantly, because that's how we learn to forgive them. In the evening, I pray about my day. That normally starts with a few apologies for screwing up my day. And then I pray for a number of people. It's a bit of a list, really, unless I know that person has a specific need. And at one point, I thought that was a bit of a cheat. It's almost reading a list of people. But then I thought about the power of heaven, and asking those individuals to be blessed every day is a wonderful thing. I know I would like to be on other people's lists. So every evening, I pray for my son and I pray for my mum. I pray for several friends I have in Nepal. I pray for all of my friends who are poorly and their spouses. I pray for my single friends and the leadership of River. When I prepared for this morning, I counted up and I found that I named 26 people every day. They are all very special people. And I think praying for specific people is really important, because we need to call down the power of heaven onto earth. And the way we do that is with prayer. And in my case, it's a nagging prayer to God every night that he would bless those individuals and their lives. I then pray for anything specific I'd like God to do in my life. And right now, I'm praying for a new tent and a new job. I like to give God lots of requests. The more I give him, the more he answers. I think it's rather depressing to pray for just one thing, because if the timing's not right and God can't answer that prayer, things seem rather bleak. So I'm greedy and I ask for lots. I went through a phase of writing all my prayers down, and then I wrote down what God had answered, and it was astounding. If you've never done that, I really recommend it. So my morning prayers are giving thanks. They're praying for the day ahead and prayers for those I'm struggling with. My evening prayers are a reflection on my day, prayers for others and prayers for myself. I have no idea now why I thought that praying in the car would be cheating God. especially when I think about the car journeys that I've had with my son Bill, because they've frequently been the real quality times when we've talked about anything and everything. As a shorter version, I did then think about praying in the toilet. And actually, if you're the kind of person who currently takes a newspaper in and spends half an hour in there, which is obviously the male half of this room, then that would probably be quality time with God. Now, my prayer life's not perfect, especially if I'm on holiday and I'm not doing my car journey, as I find my prayers are shorter. And I recently discovered that if it's holiday time and I'm praying in my house instead of the car, I stay focused if I walk around. Now, I look like a bit of a lunatic pacing up and down, but the cat doesn't seem to mind. But I found if I sit down and pray like a normal person, I get distracted and my prayers go back to 2 minutes of a monologue. It's been 2 years since Karen suggested I pray in the car. My relationship with God now is stronger. My life is more balanced and I'm more at peace with whatever life has to throw at me. Now, I've still got a long way to go. I know I need to improve my listening skills. I'm not good at doing that with normal people. So I guess it's not surprising that I struggle to give God space to talk to me as well. In summary, I've learned a few things over the last 2 years. Firstly, we need to be disciplined about praying every day. And to do that, we need to find that perfect place to give God quality, unhurried time. Secondly, we need to pray for those who've wronged us to be blessed abundantly so we can forgive them. And thirdly, I think we need to pray for lots. Lots for others and for whatever's on our hearts. We've got a Father who loves to bless us. And then we need to watch out for those answers to our prayers.